Live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Yes, we do indeed need to talk about ghosts. Welcome, everybody. It's Sunday. You can hear the echo in the room. That can only mean one thing. It means that I'm upstairs in the apartment. Yes, apartments, who am I? Hey, I'm American Joe. I'm in an apartment. I'm in the flat, as we in the UK say. So, Becca will be joining me shortly so we can debrief last night's quiz. Again, as you can expect, there were many, many internet issues, and therefore we've pulled the plug. We've made the decision that last night's quiz was the final quiz. So thank you to everyone who's taken part, and you've all been dead lovely and sent loads of lovely comments in saying, oh, it was dead good and all that. So thank you for that. We will do a few quizzes like around Halloween and Christmas, stuff like that, but they're going to be more of a one-off than every fortnight. Because in truth, it took... Like, we would start prepping... Well, we would. We generally start prepping for a quiz at around, say, 4 o'clock. Because we've got to move tables, move plug sockets. Well, extension leads. We've got to make sure... Do a few test runs and all that, carry on. And then we've got all the questions to make sure they're all... Anyway, long story short, it's a ball ache to do. But we love doing it because you guys seem to enjoy it. But then it's just so disheartening when the internet kit packs in and we have to ask you to go and join another feed. And each time you do that, numbers dwindle and it's not surprising. So you start with maybe like, I don't know, let's say for argument, you start with 60 people on the first feed. By the time it goes down the first time, then it's 50, then it's 40. And you feel bad on the people who've just left and give up because it makes you look like you're not professional. And you feel bad on the people who've stuck around till the end because they've had to put in so much work. So... Long story short, no more quizzes. Which would be good for people like Real Life Ghost Stories because I hound them for extra rounds, poor sods. So anyway, I hope that you're all well. Becca will be joining me shortly. She's done some AM exercise this morning, yes, because right now the current time of day in the UK is 10 past 9 AM. Early rises in this house. So Becca's been bouncing on a mini trampoline and she's gone for a shower. So she will be joining us shortly. I'm upstairs, the neighbour's cat's here. And she's being a nuisance, which is all fun and games. So we are going to tell some ghost stories because that's the main point of the main episode, which this is. We've had a lot of we don't need to talk about. I mean, they're going to come to an end pretty soon as well. That's sad, isn't it? Anyway, but this main show will always be here. It'll always be here, Gavnar. And so it shall. We do need to say thank you to our wonderful patrons. And we're going to do that now because we've had some lovely patrons sign up this week. So we need to say thank you to our new wonderful Patreons. And this week we have seven. Seven! Bloody hell, the magnificent seven. Yes. And they go by the names of Lucy White, Lauren Matos, Sarah Kaiken, Dave Simons, Sarah McFarland, or Sarah McFarland, very sorry, Bridget Curtin, and Samantha Sloan. Now you may all be thinking, Kevin, how are you going to fit them all into a thank you song? And I tell you people, like this. The guitar's out, and here we go. I'd like to tell you all a story about seven lovely people who kept the show afloat. Yeah, there was Lauren Matos, Lucy White, and Sarah Kaiken. They met Davey Simons and Sarah McFarlane and Bridge Idcarten and then Samantha Sloan. She was on her own simply because six works out for a verse. Yeah. So Samantha Sloan is basically the chorus of this song. There you go, ended it on a seventh. Yeah, so thank you, you magnificent seven. If you'd like to join them and become a patron and basically keep the show afloat during these times of hardship, then go over to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts, where for your donations and membership, you shall receive extra episodes each and every week, normally of me and Becca shooting the breeze and discussing the paranormal in some way, shape or form. For example, on this week's Patreon, we're going to discuss, is there a soul? And then we're also going to record ourselves going to do the weekly shop. So you get a bit of an insight. Yeah, a bit of an insight. Okay, guys, but thank you sincerely, patrons. Now let's get to some stories, eh? Ooh, actually, no, we won't, because I've just forgotten an entire segment of the show. So instead of having some stories right now, let's do that.
Shall we have some Weekend Weird then?
Yes, I think we shall.
Weekend Weird.
Yes, it's time once again to look at some of the weird news stories that have been propagating our news feeds in the last 7 days. And we've got a really interesting one that came in off the coast of Australia. Yes, well, came in from there anyway. And basically, researchers working on some sort of big, massive ship that does sonar and all this, they put a camera down there. And what they caught was unbelievable. It was an underwater tornado, not a waterspout, an actual tornado on the floor, the ocean floor. Now, researchers have called it literally completely weird, which seems quite fitting for Weekend Weird, really, doesn't it? They were performing live commentary on a live stream when an underwater tornado appeared on the seafloor. They said it was really unusual, amazing, and as I say, completely weird. Marine geologist Robin Beeman of the scientists, one of the scientists performing the commentary, said the formation was reminiscent of a benthic storm, which involves waves travelling under the surface and creating turbulence near the ocean floor. However, scientists said that doesn't fully explain the reason behind the tornado, and they don't actually know the cause. Now, could it be what we in the business call a USO, an unidentified submersible object? Yes, maybe it was kicked up by the jet engine's propulsion system of an underwater submersible from Venus. Then again, maybe it wasn't. So we'll be back next week with more Week in Weird.
Week in Weird.
And we are back. Yes, and we're going to start some spooky stories right about now. Tell you what, is it warm where you are? Because here in the UK right now, it's sweltering and I am not one for the heat. I don't like the sun very much. I don't mind it in like spring and autumn when you can go about and do things. I hate summer, mainly for the I don't mind being on a beach abroad when you're on holiday. That's lovely and fine, cocktail in hand. But in the UK, people just expect you to go and stand in a field. It's like, we'll go in the field because it's hot. Do you want to just come and lie there? No, I don't. I don't want to be on my deathbed and be like, I remember them 4 weeks I spent lying in a field. No, I don't. So don't ask me. Anyway, our first email today comes in from Michelle James and it's entitled Welsh Spook. She says, hi all. Hi. She said all. I am new to the podcast and have recently realised that this podcast is not the best thing to listen to before bed. Lesson learned. Yes, you're quite right, Michelle. I also hope that what I'm about to tell you makes sense due to my dyslexia. Writing is not my biggest strength. Well, don't you worry, Michelle, we're doing just fine so far. Anyway, here we go. Feel free to remove parts of the story if you feel it's not necessary. No, I won't, because it's your story, and we need to hear it as is, from the horse's mouth, so to speak. I'm not saying you're a horse. Anyway, this is Michelle's story. Back in the 90s, I was dating a guy whose parents lived in Wales. One summer, we went to stay with them in their rented 17th century cottage. A beautiful building, it had a converted barn which had become a second sitting room which was attached to a lovely kitchen that had a lean-to conservatory. The kitchen was part of the original house. Off the kitchen you continued into the main part of the cottage. Fireplace at one end and a large inglenook fireplace at the other. All felt normal and cosy and I really felt at home in this part of the house. However, there was a door leading off the living room to a hallway which led to a bathroom and small room and the stairs which lead to two bedrooms. This small room was where we would be sleeping. My partner's father had been using this room for aromatherapy and all that was in there was a bookshelf and a cabinet and a desk and now an airbed. On our first night we sat up talking till late. I was tired after the long drive and said I was going to bed. I left my partner and his father talking. I got into bed and shuffled about till I got comfy. I was just about to turn the light off when I heard a click. I froze. Suddenly, I heard a creak. I sat up and looked at the cabinet. The door started to open. First a little, and then it stopped. And then it swung wide open. I got up quickly and walked back into the living room. I made an excuse that I wasn't sleepy anymore and waited till my partner and I went to bed together. When we did, we snuggled down and fell asleep. I'm not sure how long I was asleep for, but I was awoken suddenly by a hand ruffling my hair. I sat up and glared into the darkness of the room. Nothing.
I looked at my sleeping partner, thinking he might have done it as a joke, but no. I didn't sleep much that night, and we moved into the converted barn for the rest of the stay. I did eventually tell my story to his parents, who confirmed that they too have had experiences of someone running up and down the stairs and books moving. I'm glad they could confirm that I wasn't mad. I hope this is the kind of story you're looking for. I may even send another one soon. Thanks, Michelle. Please do send one. That's terrifying. It does make me think of the place that I'm hoping we get to for the Halloween special, which is a hotel in Anglesey, yes, in Wales. And when we stayed there last time, in allegedly the haunted room, yes, number 237, I had an audio recorder. I've told you all this before, but you can listen to it again. Why not? And it picks up, it records when you hear sound. Basically, we heard the wardrobe there get the living shite kicked out of it. And you didn't hear anyone come into the door, as was proven evident when you did pick up me and Becca coming back into the room. So what I mean by that is you would have heard somebody entering the room if it was a human being, which it clearly wasn't. So we're looking to go back there, but this time with cameras. Yes, we're going to catch the demon of the hotel, if we can get there, which I'm sure we'll be able to by October. Anyway, Michelle, thank you for your story. And yes, please do send another one in, because that one was bloody marvellous. Okay, our next email comes in from repeat senderinner, because that's a phrase, Christopher Murphy, yes, from Montreal, Canada. I know my geography, don't test me, sir. And Chris's email pretty much goes right into the story, so that's what we're going to do also. So he says, hi, Kevin Becker. Thanks again for reading my second set of stories out on the podcast. Funny thing about my parents' house is I have never felt whatever is living there to be evil in nature. On the topic of said house, about 2 weeks ago, my father was standing at the sink when he felt a hand running the fingers down his back. Thinking it was my mum, he turned around to see no one there. Later that night, he woke up to go to the bathroom, and when he exited my parents' room, he jumped, seeing my brother standing outside his bedroom door. But when my father turned around after entering the bathroom, my brother was no longer there, and my father did not hear the bedroom door open or close. It being my old room, I know how much noise the door makes. Interestingly, on the same night that happened, like I said in my last email, my wife and I heard someone enter our room and there was no one there. Talking to a co-worker the next day, he told me that same night he was lying in bed and felt someone touch his back and whispered something, but he couldn't make it out. And he assured me the only thing behind him was the wall. That's terrifying, that is, Chris. Thank you for that. Wow. Now, you say that your next story is going to be a long one, so feel free to pause the podcast, go and make yourself a drink, maybe some toast, maybe an English muffin, as we call it, crumpet. Maybe go and have some crumpet. Oh, missus, I'm drinking right now coffee with honey in because I'm sick of people saying, oh, I like honey in me tea, because I don't drink tea. So I tried it with coffee, and let me tell you, it's pretty vile, but I'm going to continue drinking it. We've basically got no sugar. Not that you needed to know any of that information. Now, the remainder of Chris's story. These all happened in the summer of 2000. The first part is not my story, but one of my best friends that he told to my brother and I. He was up watching TV around 2 or 3 in the morning in the basement. His brother and sister were asleep on a mattress on the floor next to the chair he was sitting in. Now, his basement floor, like most floors, creaked when you'd step on certain parts of the floor. So while he's watching TV, he hears someone very clearly step on the floor right next to him or just behind, and then he heard the sound of someone running up the stairs behind him. Hearing this, he turned around and looked to see if it was either of his siblings, but both of them were still sound asleep. He decided to go and see if one of his parents had gotten up to get a drink and made his way upstairs. Now, to understand this next part, I need to give a description of the layout of his parents' house. Coming up from the basement on your right is the dining room, which also leads into the living room. To the left is the kitchen, which exits into a small hallway where the bathroom and the bedrooms are. This also leads around into the living room and front entrance. Sorry for the aside, now back to the story. So, he exits the basement and heads towards the bedrooms. Where he looks in his parents' room, he sees them both fast asleep. Walking back towards the kitchen, he noticed his dog standing on the couch, looking into the living room at nothing. He enters the living room and calls for his dog. She doesn't react. Again he calls her. At first, no reaction, Then she gets off the couch, then goes under the side table and starts whimpering with her ears down like she's scared. At this moment, my friend feels as if something's ran past him, and he hears a loud bang on the wall next to him, as if someone had just ran full force into it. At this point, my friend decided to head back downstairs and watch some TV to clear his head. Now, this same friend had also told me at one point he'd seen an old man from his bedroom door standing in the hallway. So a few days previous, after the previous incident was over, it was just my friend Craig, his brother Scott and I, and we're all hanging out and they decide they're going to wrestle on their parents' bed. All of us being wrestling fans, this was nothing out of the ordinary. As we walked through the kitchen out into the hallway where the computer desk was, my friend pressed the power on the tower system of the PC. I was standing in the doorway of the parent room and they were messing around. The desk and computer are to my left down two steps and I hear Windows boot up. Then I hear the dial-up modem, in brackets, remember those days? Yes, I do, Chris. Which was odd seeing as you had to physically click on it. Next, another weird thing happened in his ICQ messenger, which once again was impossible seeing as you had to physically click on the icon. At this point, I call these strange things to the attention of my friend and his brother. They stop wrestling and we all walk towards the computer. We look at the screen, puzzled. Craig resets the computer and goes into the bathroom, which was to the immediate left of the desk. Now, I'm standing facing the desk and the bathroom, and Scott is to the right of the desk and Craig is standing in front of the mirror, and we're all talking about how weird the stuff was with the computer. Now I see Craig, who is fixing his hair, and I see his eyes move to the side mirror on his right, opening by itself and then slamming shut. I will never forget the look on his face and then him saying, "Chris, get the door, now." So all three of us go outside, slamming the door behind us. We all stood there looking at each other, asking, "What the hell was that?" When from the window to our upper left, we hear Windows boot up again, followed by the sound of the dial-up internet connecting. At this point, we all look at each other confused and open the front door. We all poke our head around the door like in a Scooby-Doo cartoon. We see no one near the computer. At this point, Scott has had enough and he unplugs the computer. We all decide we're going to take the dog for a walk, so Scott gets the leash and Craig and I go downstairs to look for his sunglasses. At the bottom of the stairs, they had an old arcade booth which was always unplugged unless someone was playing it. Craig enters his room and my back is to the arcade booth as he exits, and he looks at me, his eyes grow wide and he points behind me. The arcade booth screen is flashing orange. We both look and see the plug is on the floor and is unplugged. Both of us run up the stairs and through the kitchen, knocking over a stool. We get outside and Scott asked us why we were running and we told him and he was awestruck. While we were having this conversation, we realised their dog is looking in the living room window and she is whining and has her ears down and her tail between her legs. We all take notice and look in the window, but we don't see anything. So we go on our walk. About 45 minutes later, we come back to the house. We open the front door and tell the dog to go inside. She looks at us, then back at the door, then back at us, as if to say, "There's no way I'm going in first." So we all go inside. Craig goes to hang up the leash. Scott and I goes right into through the living room towards the kitchen. Craig enters the kitchen first and says, "Chris, didn't we knock over a stool on the way out?" I agreed we did. So then he says, "Well, you might want to see this." I walk to where he is and there are no stools knocked over. They're all standing upright. At this point, we decide to go to my place and spend the rest of the afternoon there. To end this off, I just want to add that over the years I spent in Craig's house, he and I both encountered shadows on the walls of people walking by who were not there. We've also heard the sounds when we were in the basement of someone walking upstairs when no one's home, like at my parents' house. Sorry, I know this was a long one, but it being about 20 years ago, I needed to make sure some of the details were correct. Sorry, all of the details were correct. Keep up the great work, both of you. Stay safe. Thanks again. Cheers, Chris. Oh, well, thank you, Chris. What a terrifying story. I do like it when electronics get possessed. Nay, possessed. I just used the same word again there. Hello, Becca.
Hello.
Why are you loitering around me?
I've got a week in weird for you. The mystery of the missing shorts.
The missing shorts? Have you lost a pair of shorts?
Yeah, I have literally no idea how I've had them this week.
What colour are they?
Black.
Oh, I've seen a pair of red ones.
Yeah, no, it's not them.
Becca, everyone.
Come and see. Hello.
Becca's going to be joining us very shortly when she finds her shorts, it would appear.
I don't know where they are. I'm like done looking for them. They just into the
disappeared. Eh? Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, how do you lose a pair of shorts?
Quite easily. You know, you might be drunk.
Taking them off anywhere.
You've been drunk several nights this week.
I have not.
You have.
I've had a couple of drinks several nights this week, but I haven't. Well, I wasn't drunk last night, and I wasn't drunk the night before.
You was.
No, I would never volunteer to go home at 9:30 if I was drunk. So I
can't. Oh, that's fair enough. Yeah. Okay.
Because I'm a nuisance when I'm drunk.
You are a nuisance when you're drunk.
I want to keep the party going for as long as possible.
Yeah, that's fair enough. So
I've got something to.
Well, speak into the microphone so people can hear.
Okay. I mean, it's not paranormal based, but it's kind of spiritual, I guess.
Gone.
In a way. Well, ish. So you know the summer solstice?
Yes.
I learned something about it yesterday. So I always thought it was the 21st of June.
As did I, yeah.
And that was just the end of it. It's just what? Like, I would have bet the £1 million question on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire that it was the 21st of June.
Yeah, as would I.
Turns out, it can change. This year, it's the 20th of June.
No.
Yes. And I'm particularly interested in this because it's my birthday on the 20th of June.
Yes, it is.
And so my birthday has always been on the second longest day of the year, which I'm quite like.
Yeah.
I'm sure for you, it always feels like the longest.
It does. Longest few days of the year.
Yeah, but it turns out it can be... It can sometimes be the 21st, and occasionally it can even, but more rarely, be the 22nd.
Well, that is interesting. When was the last time it was the 22nd?
No idea.
So what's it this year, the 20th or the 22nd?
It's the 20th.
Your birthday's the...
Yeah.
Oh, Christ.
Day of the year.
So that it's both literally and figuratively the longest day of the year.
Yes.
Amazing.
So that's fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
thanks, God.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, very interesting. Do you want to stick around? We're going to do the midpoint. We can deconstruct last night's quiz. Yeah, ideally, yeah, because I've kind of said people you're going to be here.
Okay.
And then we need to do a Patreon episode too. You lucky, lucky thing.
Okay.
So, guys, we're going to enter a midpoint now. German dancers at the ready. And wo ist denn midpoint? And midpoint ist denn Meinenhausen. And I'm with the wonderful Rebecca. Hello.
Hello.
I mean, Becca. I know, Rebecca'd you again.
Yes.
So you need to lean into the microphone a bit more because you do have the voice of a mouse. Oh, I'm a little mouse. That was Alan Partridge there.
I'm not into you insulting me every time.
I'm not insulting you.
You are.
I'm being playful. Enjoy it. Okay, so we done the final ever quiz last night, didn't we?
We did. Well, not the final ever.
Not the final ever.
Final for now.
Yeah, we are going to do a few one-offs. Thank you to everyone who took part. It was really nice here, especially the commitment and patience that you showed. And as I said on the Facebook post last night.
It's a good group.
It's an amazing group. And we did still have a bit of a laugh, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Going through it. Maybe it's, for now, it's the last you're going to see of the ghost that haunts the flat.
Yeah, sir.
Well, are you going to miss the ghost?
I sure will.
I think, are you going to miss, let's be honest, let's break the fourth wall.
He has a better sense of humour than I thought.
Yeah, he did have a good sense of humour, didn't he? Let's break the fourth wall and discuss your acting skills. Because, of course, it may come to as a surprise to everyone, but Becca played the ghost.
You can't say that. I docked a point for someone for saying that ghost wasn't real.
You did, didn't you? Yeah, seeing that on the quiz.
Someone thought that's not a real ghost. And I said, incorrect. This is a real ghost, -1 point.
And we also must thank everybody who sent questions in as well.
Yes.
So we thanked them on the thing yesterday, but on the quiz. But also, I'll try and remember the names today. In fact, no, we won't. I'll do better than that. I'll get the email up which I'd sent myself to make sure that I say thank you to you all. So you can have an actual thank you on the show too. How about that sort of jazz?
That's good of you.
That's very nice of me, isn't it? So we need to thank Jay Adams, Lucy White, Vicky and Cassie and Edward Cortinas. You will notice, guys, that we didn't use all of your questions. And that was because, as you will have seen, we advertised it as a general knowledge quiz. So God bless Jay. He sent in like 12 questions just about Marilyn Monroe. And I thought, in a quiz that's basically we're only going to ask... Well, I'm going to ask 4 times 9 questions. So what's that, 36? I was going to ask 36 questions... And 14 of them couldn't have been about Marilyn Monroe. Same with Eddie now. I'm calling Edward, Eddie. He sent in some amazing questions about First Nation people in America. But again, there was about 8 of them. So we could have...
Yeah, it's quite specialist.
It's quite specialist, yeah. But, you know, we did promise people general knowledge. So we tried to throw a few of them in too. Mm-hmm. But we had fun, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is the main thing, as long as we enjoyed ourselves. So apologies for the internet, guys. I don't know what's going to happen between now and our planned Halloween quiz that's going to improve the internet situation. But you never know, we may get 5G in here or something like that.
I mean, we've got... It's an unlimited data thing, so I don't know what the problem could possibly be, to be honest.
I think it must be like a kooky thing. Kooky! Do you say cookie or kooky?
Obviously cookie, because no one says kooky.
I say
even people who say book don't say kooky.
Well, I say book and I've just said kooky.
If you went to Subway, you would ask for...
Cookie?
No, a cookie.
You no, I'd say, here's an interesting one. I say cookie for the biscuits that you eat, but I say kooky if I mean internet cookies.
No, because Kooky is K-O-O-K-Y, like as in...
No, you mean like Zooey Deschanel, Kooky.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the only real Kooky. If you're saying Kooky, that's what people are picturing.
No. Just for my own...
C-O-O-K-I-E is Kooky.
No, just for my own differential, I like to say Kooky for the internet and Kooky for a biscuit.
Yes. It's not a biscuit anyway.
Well, it is. It's a big round biscuit with Smarties in it, isn't it, really? It's all it is.
The Subway ones. The best Subway ones.
Yeah, it was the Subway one I was thinking about. The rainbow cookies.
The good cookies, then.
Cookies. They're cookies. Not like the backup you got on the internet last night, which caused it to fall, which is a cookie.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, that was us talking about cookies and cookies. And Cookie Monster? Do you know who the Cookie Monster
is? The Cookie Monster, stop it.
The Cookie Monster is Zooey Deschanel, because I'm so kooky. Hey, people who think they're kooky. Anyway. That was this week's midpoint. Wasn't it entertaining? I do think so. Okay, we're going to be back after this little jangle of music, and we're going to be telling more ghost stories. I think that's you for now, isn't it?
Yes.
But you will be joining us for the Patreon.
By all means.
So if you want to hear more of Becca's dulcet tones, you need to sign up and become a member of Patreon, as we said earlier, patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. In the meantime and in between time, on behalf of all of our listeners, Becca, I'd like to thank you for your input in the quiz. Thank you for Becca's bonus questions. Thank you for pretending to be a ghost. You've really thrown yourself into this, haven't you? When you put it like that. And thank you for joining us on the midpoint of this here show.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you for your thanks. It's nice to be appreciated.
Well, what a lovely relationship this is turning out to be. Okay, so see ya.
Okay.
Why are you still here?
Okay, I am still just around.
I know, yeah. So if you hear someone pottering around in the background, like you did probably through Chris's story, that was Becca trying to feed the neighbour's cat. Okay, guys, we're going to go back to more stories. See you in a bizzle. And we are back, or should I say I am back. Yes, Kevin on his own. Becca sneezing in the background there. Thanks for that, Beck. Picked it up really loud and clear.
Fine.
So you may hear a bit of interference noise in the background, and that's because I've had to put a fan on because it's just unreal. So we've got the patio door open for the balcony, and we've also got the fan on because it's Bakerloo. Yes, it is. So don't forget, if you've got a story that you want to send it to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. And what I'll do, you see, is I'll read it out because that's exactly how the show works. And we have had some amazing stories. And just to let you know, if you're wondering, hey, why hasn't he read my story? We're running about 2 weeks behind. So, for example, Chris's story that I've just read out there, he sent that in 12th of May. So we're roughly about 2 weeks behind. So we will get round to your stories, but do send them in because I want a backlog. I'd hate to get to the point where I was like, no one sends a story in, guys. Really sorry. This is a 5 minute long episode. Becca's distracting me by pulling panicked faces over my shoulder. You did pull a panicked face. Anyway, let's get to more stories. So our next email comes in from Charlotte Evans, and she says, Kevin, in brackets, and Becca. Becca's in brackets now, where she belongs. Anyway, she sat opposite me, you see, so I'm trying to antagonise her. So she says, a couple of things to say. She says, discovered you via real life ghost stories and binge your entire back catalogue in one lockdown week. Well, that's wonderful. She says, number one, I love the way you treat your listeners and patrons. In brackets, your New Year little friend messages actually made me cry. I was a bit drunk, but still. Aw, I'm not too sure what that is, but I'm glad that I made you cry. I'm not glad I made you cry. Two, I effing love Becca and want to be her friend. But yours too, obviously, but mostly Becca. What do you say to that, Becca?
Yay, friend!
Becca's very low on friends. So you're on choice mainly, but you are.
Yeah, I know. I'm such a crunk.
She says, finally, my spooky, possibly, story. Week one of lockdown, I decided to take up running, in brackets, because 37 and mostly full of wine is the perfect time for that. Oh. I started jogging around my local cemetery. It sounds morbid, but it's one of London's magnificent seven. So huge and peaceful, and therefore no one to laugh at me. Anyway, I got quite used to my evening jog when suddenly in week four, the council decided to close the cemetery. I discovered this when arriving for my run, and I found the gates closed. Luckily, the groundskeeper, in brackets, a grave guardian man, very possibly, spotted me reading the closure notice. We struck up a conversation and he recognised me, offered to sneak me in while he was doing his cleaning rounds. A week into this new arrangement, I was jogging down the slight slope towards the bottom of the cemetery, and I noticed a man standing next to one of the gravestones at the bottom of the hill. He was a completely normal looking man, middle-aged, dark hair, blue shirt and those beige trousers your dad buys in M&S. How the hell do you know what trousers my dad buys? Because you're quite right there, he rarely does. Well done. I didn't think anything of it. It was broad daylight, really sunny actually, and I was concentrating on how much I hate running. I looked away briefly to watch a fox sleeping by another grave, and when I looked back, the man was gone. Again, I didn't think anything of it as there are a lot of cut-through paths in the cemetery and I assumed he'd taken one of those. So I limped through the rest of my rum and You limped through the rest of your run and arrived back at the gates. As groundskeeper man was letting me out, he made to lock the gates. Me. Shouldn't you wait for the other man? Groundskeeper, with a confused look. What other man? Me. I saw someone down at the bottom. Groundskeeper man. Well, I've only let you in, so whoever he is, he shouldn't be there. He let me out and went to investigate. The next time I saw him, he told me he hadn't found anyone. The cemetery only has one entrance and the walls are 12 foot high. I'm pretty sure I saw the world's most boring ghost. Thank you for the podcast, and as a Welsh girl from Barry Island, I can categorically say your Welsh accent is shit. Love, Charlotte. Well, I've never... Or should I say in a Welsh accent, I've never been so insulted. Oh, gracious me. You're right, that was bloody awful, wasn't it? Dare I say, as you say, shite. Anyway, thank you, Charlotte. That's an amazing story, it really is. It harks back to the one I was telling you last week about, you know, the giant in the graveyard who then turned up in Russia. Yes, very strange. Was it a graveyard guardian? Maybe it was. Maybe it was. We all know of graveyard guardians, of course. I sounded drunk there myself. Graveyard guardians, of course. They are meant to be the first person buried in the graveyard, and their job is then to look after every other person that's buried thereafter. As we learnt on last night's quiz, possibly called a psychopomp. Yes, without the plosive at the end. So thank you, Charlotte. Sincerely, that was a great email. And if you do have any other stories like that, then please send them in. Okay, let's have another. Our next email comes in from Lindsay Cullen, and she writes, Hi, Kevin and Becca. Hi. Say hi, Becca.
Hello.
There you go. She is listening. She's just doing a shopping list. I hope you're both well. We are, thank you. Kev, happy birthday for tomorrow. See, that's how far back we've gone. So thank you, Lindsay. I had a great birthday. Thank you. I've been listening for a while, and after listening to each episode for a second time, I finally got round to signing up to Patreon. Thanks, Lindsay. Although I did call you Lisa in the song, didn't I? I fixed that there. Thanks for the Patreon shout-out during this week's episode. I like the detuning on the guitar, but wasn't as crazy about being called Lisa. I just told you, told you. I'll let you off, though, because it's your birthday week. I've been meaning to write for ages, and it was on my quarantine to-do list, but was losing three stone. This was definitely the easier of the two. I was also born in Highton. Ah, well done. Two dogs, she says, yes. And I've recently moved back in with my parents. Super strange being back, but actually loving it. Like hearing your little references to Uno's. Hey, Uno's is the best pizza, by the way, in Highton / Prescott, yes. She says, where my dad works as a delivery driver. Oh, your dad's possibly delivered me some heaven in a box then at some point. That's interesting. Can he get a discount as well? And would he deliver to town and other places around the city? Listen to this podcast before I move back home. Definitely gave me some familiarity. So thank you for that. You're very welcome, Lindsay. We have another listener from Highton as well. Yes, Claire. So my home village there, making a few... Don't know what the next word is, really. And we've also got a guy who used to live in Highton, who's now in New Zealand. So it's strange that because, you know, I wouldn't expect that from people who just live... Funny enough, not many other Scousers... But there's more people from Highton than there is from Liverpool. Isn't that interesting? I think so. Anyway, your story. I have a couple of stories for you from experiences my mum has had over the years. Feel free to read them out or not. We will. And here we go. My mum was born in Rainhill and her family moved to Lickers Lane in Whiston when the new council estate was built there in the late 50s. They were the first in the street to have a car, a phone and a TV, so they did fairly well for themselves. My nan ran a shop in Whiston and my grandad worked at Cronton Colliery. Unfortunately, he was diagnosed with chronic bronchitis at an early age and was forced to stop working there due to illness. When my mum was 13, her dad's condition deteriorated to the point where he was hospitalised at nearby Whiston Hospital. One day, my mum was at school and my nan at work. My grandad's mum also lived with them and she got a phone call at home from the hospital to say that my grandad was gravely ill and that the family had to get there quickly. My great-nan never made it to the hospital, On hearing her only son's fate, she suffered a heart attack there and then and collapsed and died on the floor at home. Bloody hell. God, that's terrible. God bless you. The hospital then phoned my nan's shop and my nan got my mum and both went to the hospital where they were in time to say goodbye. I must stress at this point they had not been home. They rushed straight to the hospital as they knew Grandad's mum had been called and was likely en route. As they stood by his bedside, my granddad said his last words. Words my mum will never forget. He said, "Not yet, mum. What about our Linda?" In brackets, "My mum is Linda." Within a minute, my granddad was dead. My mum and nan travelled back home from the hospital to find my granddad's mum dead in the hall. To this day, my mum is 100% convinced that his mum was calling him, as she had died around an hour before without them knowing. Wow, I've just got a shiver right down my back. I mean, you haven't stopped with the story yet, but that is absolutely... I think it's because I know the places you're referencing as well, but that is absolutely amazing, and I'm completely in belief that that took place. Anyway, around 10 years later in the same house in Whiston, my mum had brought my dad for dinner and he was staying over, in brackets, on the couch, of course. She was making the family a cup of tea in the kitchen when all of a sudden the warm water she was holding the teaspoon under went stone cold. She felt a sensation of arms being put around her shoulders from behind, in a fatherly protective way. After what felt like 10 minutes, but was likely a few seconds, Mum said out loud, "Honestly, Dad, it's okay, I'm fine." And the sensation disappeared. The water became warm again and everything was back to normal. That night, while my dad was sleeping on the couch, he recalls the living room door opening and the sensation of someone sitting on the couch where his feet were. He was frozen in panic. Suddenly at 1 a.m, the phone rang and it was some family calling from America. He never felt it again, but believes it to have been my mum's father coming to give him a little warning to take care of my mum, which he duly did and still does to this day. There was always a strange feeling in my nan's house. Not a bad feeling, not threatening, but a feeling that there were more souls within the walls than just the living. My nan died in 91, and after her remarried husband passed away in 2003, the house was sold on. In the years in between, my sister and I would visit my step-granddad and always felt like there was someone watching over us, in a protective way, but still scary as a child. We would never go in the back bedroom, which we were later told was my great-nan's bedroom, the one who died in the house before calling her son to the other side. Probably far too sentimental, and I'm sure Becca will have lots to say as a skeptic, but I really wanted to share this one with you. Thanks for the great podcast. It keeps me sane on my commute. Take care of yourselves and many happy returns. Lindsay, brackets, not Lisa. Yeah, sorry for that. What an amazing story. I love that. It's not too sentimental at all. That is arguably one of the very best. Someone on the other side waiting to take someone else. Again, a psychopomp. You know, as we found, but just in case you're wondering what a psychopomp is, we covered it on the quiz last night. A psychopomp is a collective term for a spirit that guides others into the afterlife. So by the sounds of it, your great nan was a psychopomp. Tell you what, you know, serendipity. Have you heard about this serendipity thing where things just come into your life? I never heard the word psychopomp till yesterday. And now they're bloody everywhere. But honest to God, Lindsay, what a story. I think we can all agree that's both beautiful and terrifying. Yes. Becca's just over the way from me, actually. Did you hear any of that, or was you busy on your list?
I was busy on my list, but I heard a little bit.
Lovely, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think it was a very nice story. I know Whiston very well. Know Whiston Hospital very well, yes. That's my local hospital. I've been there with many a fractured arm. I've never fractured my arm. I went there with a fractured collarbone once when I got hit by a car. Yes, I bullseyed the windscreen with my head, but didn't have a scratch on me other than a broken collarbone. Very strange, yes. Lucky to be alive. Some would say a guardian angel. I would say I had far too much hairspray on and my head was basically a giant helmet. Treasure made for you. Super strength. White can. You can get it in Asda for £2.50. Anyway. So thank you for that. I think that's all the stories we're going to have for this show. So we're just going to read out some reviews and, of course, some of your correspondence. Now, we've had two people. We've had Mercedes and we've had Tony both get in touch in reference to a show or two ago when we were talking about when I said that doctors should be cupping, well, not should be, but they have been known to cup your testicles and ask you to cough. And Becca at the time poo-pooed that and said, bollocks, literally, in the hand. She said, no, I've never heard of that. But two people have been in touch. Firstly, we've had Mercedes get in touch and she said, doctors do what Kev is saying to check for a hernia. There you go. And Tony's been in touch to say, mate, I'm 8 years older than you, and I remember the cobbler's out, turn your head and cough. I had suppressed the memory till the last episode. Yes, very interesting, guy. So what do you make of that, Becca? Do you want to shout over your comments? You won't be heard, but let's see.
So what's this?
You know, I said that when we were talking about my back going and the doctor put his finger up my bum and I didn't like it one iota.
You're so angry.
Yeah, and I said, doctors have been known to grab testicles and ask you to cough. And you said, no, they haven't.
Okay, well, I'm kind of glad that no one's done that to you yet because you were so angry at the actual legit prostate exam that had you not never heard of this and then it happened.
See, the interesting thing is, Becca's just saying that if you can't hear that, I would probably be very angry if a doctor done that to me. But it probably wouldn't be because I know that that's something, I now know that they test.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You'd now be all right, but I'm glad that that didn't happen at the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Already angry about the finger up your bum.
I mean, to be honest, a finger up my bum and grabbing all of my testicles, we haven't even swapped numbers. I would have been quite ashamed of that, to be fair. I'm not an easy date. I'm not a cheap date. Do you want to make any comments on that? Do you think I am?
I need something from the vending machine first.
Yes, please. A 15 pence coffee from the hospital vending machines.
15 Wiston pence? Hospital. How old are you?
Well, that was the last time I got a coffee from Wiston. How much are they now?
I don't know. Nothing is 15 pence.
Really?
Even a Freddo isn't 15 pence anymore.
Christ. Freddo's with 10p. What are you on about?
Yeah, it's not anymore.
Yeah, I bet it's not. Bloody, I tell you what, capitalism, eh? So thank you for those comments about testicles in the hand. I knew I was right. I just knew it. We've also had, Lucy's been back in touch. She sent us another few links in, so thank you very much for that. We've also had an email from Patty, who's sent in, she's from Seattle. I like Pat. She sent in an email that says, Kevin, where can I find your music that was featured in earlier episodes of your show? The songs were really great. Well, thank you, Pat. You can find them, if anyone's interested, on soundcloud.com/KevinJEustace. Yes, you can. I will also have a new album out in a couple of weeks called A Lightless Body. Yes. And that's going to be on Spotify, iTunes, etc. within about a fortnight. I'll probably play, when it's finalised, I'll probably play a track on this show. Because, you know, it's my show and I've got the ability to do that. Oh, lucky, lucky me. Almaz, you lucky, lucky thing. Okay, let's read out a few reviews. Okay, so we've got a 5-star review here. New favourite spooky pod. They say, I think they're pretty funny and I love all the spooky stories. And that's from Letting It Fly via Apple Podcasts in the US of I. Another one from the US of A here, from Baker Street_Irregular. They write 5 stars. Quickly become a favourite. I love this podcast. Kevin ticks off so many boxes for me. Interest in the paranormal. Tells ghost stories every week. Very funny. And great accent to boot. More and more these days... Oh, do you hear that then? That was my chest. More and more these days, his sceptical partner Becca joins the show to balance his believer's perspective with a logical one. During this time of quarantine, they've also been releasing extra episodes which have made me feel that I'm hanging out with friends rather than alone in the house. If you like the paranormal with a dash of humour, this podcast is for you. There you go. That's a nice little email, isn't it? Now, we've also had a 4-star review that says presently 4 stars. It says, hey, Kevin.
4 stars?
Yeah. Love so many of your former episodes. However... You and your girl, very sweet, but a bore reality TV. Not to mention our current administration with Trump. So need a getaway. Please get back to ghost stories. Ooh.
Do we have to explain this again?
No, I think we've acknowledged in that we don't need to talk about ghost episodes. That it's not, they're not about ghosts.
Well, clearly not, because this.
That was an old review.
Confused.
I mean, I'm a bit behind on the reviews, to be fair. So, and also, you can't... I do mention it every episode, but also, you can't be the sort of person that just reads out 5-star reviews.
No, I know, you should definitely have read it out, but to explain again...
And it's still 4-star. 4-star's great.
Yeah, so it's still good. But to explain again...
Oh, neighbour's cat nearly fell off the fridge. Thankfully it didn't. I know, to explain again to everybody, the...
They're extras, so the ghost ones are still remainers, like this one. You've been reading other ghost stories. They still remain as ghost ones. The ones throughout the week that we do not need to talk about ghosts, we don't need to talk about ghosts, they're just extra ones, just extra content. They're not necessarily ghost ones. That's just us chatting. Like, you know, a few of the other reviews have said, it feels like I've got friends around, you know, it's just chatting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just a...
But the ghost ones remain unchanged. If you only like the ghost ones, that's more than reasonable. You know, stick with the ghost ones.
Yeah, very well said. But, you know, if you wanted to be part of the podcast, you should have sat around here and got picked up on a microphone. Just saying. You know, instead of hollering from over the table. I do joke. I completely agree with what you're saying.
Because earlier you were like, why are you still here? Come on,
no, I'm joking, of course. And I agree with what you're saying. But we have said this several times. But at the same time, I sincerely do thank you for the feedback because it does mean that, you know, maybe it's not clear enough. I don't know. I don't know what more we could do, in truth, but maybe it's not clear enough. If you want to leave a review, by all means, go and do. And they don't have to be 5 stars. As we've just discovered, We will probably get into some discourse if it's less than, depending on your comments, as we've just discovered also. But thank you sincerely for sending in that review, because you know what? You didn't have to. And 4 stars is still great. If my next album coming out gets 4 stars, I'll be very happy. If it's only a 4-star rating, that is. As in, like, you can only get 4 stars. Anyway, shut up, Kevin. Enough waffling. So don't forget, guys, if you want to get in touch with us, by all means do, send in your spooky stories to contact@talkaboutghosts.com and we will read them out. There's a bit of a backlog, but we need a backlog because that's how the show survives. So don't let that put you off from sending your stories in. Also, if you want to hear me and Becca, who are going to be talking very shortly on the Patreon episode, then you need to sign up to Patreon, patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts, where we'll be doing an episode shortly. And we do put out some extra content each and every week on there. That's basically it, really. So thank you for listening again. Thank you for those who took part in the 4 quizzes we've done. And we hope to see your quizzing brains back in time for Halloween. But we will be back on Wednesday for our We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts. In the meantime and in between time, take care of yourselves and each other. That is definitely a Jerry Springer saying. Anyway. And yeah, take care. Tatty bye. Say bye, Becca.
Bye, guys.
Thank you. Tatty bye.